The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. We're back. Alan Ellis here with more talk on bow fishing for Calnose Rays, and we are joined by Kurt Wall and John Peek. Is everybody on the air?
Yes, we are, Alan.
All right. Kurt Wall, John Peek, you there, guys?
Yes, yes.
Tony Lahotsky, and Lou Compton. You guys there?
Yes, sir.
All right. It's all good. Tony, when we left the last hour, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, the one interesting thing being out there on the water looking for the rays is whether we want direction or not from the watermen. A lot of times when they see us or see us with a bow on the boat, their first notion is actually to wave us over. And as soon as we get over there, they'll direct us. Like I said, whether we want it or not, their biggest idea out there is knowing somebody's actually helping them take care of the population, and you know, they got no problem directing us on any day.
Okay. By way of introduction, Kurt Wall, John Peek, Lou Compton. Kurt, I know you've talked to Lou. Lou is president of the Maryland Bowhunter Society.
Yeah.
Tony Lahotsky is a commercial, has a commercial outfitting service for deer, waterfowl, commercial or recreational fishing charters, and is a one of the leading commercial captains for Calnose Ray on the Chesapeake Bay out of Silver Dog Outdoors, silverdogoutdoors.com. Kurt Wall, introduce yourself and your position.
All right, well, I'm Kurt Wall, avid bow hunter, bow fisherman. We've been doing this for years and years, and we just started putting it on. So actually, we were continuing this tournament from another gentleman who's been putting it on for 17 years.
Right.
And, you know, we're just continuing it. And as I forgot the other guy's name, we're just...
Tony Lahotsky.
Tony. He's absolutely right. We've never been on the water where they have not called us over and asked us to please, try to remove as many as we can because of what the damage they do to the shellfish.
And John, introduce yourself, John Peek.
Yes, I'm John Peek. I'm actually a commercial waterman myself.
Okay.
And, so I'm out there. I see it all firsthand.
Sure.
So there you have it.
pretty easily done. Now, you guys are having a tournament tomorrow, Kurt, right?
Yes. We are.
All right. And where is your tournament?
It's at Howling Point, Howling Lane, which is in Prince Frederick, Maryland.
Okay. That's down between Prince Frederick and Brooms Island, somewhere down there?
Yes, sir. It's right off at 231.
Right.
Right there before you get into Benedict at the public DNR ramp.
Oh, I know where it is. Sure. Oh, on 231. Yeah, I know exactly where it is. Okay. Yeah, I was down there the other day, as a matter of fact. I was down there Wednesday. Okay, guys, hang on there a minute. Lou, you wanted to say something. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, Alan, we were talking before we left for the news break. We were talking about the animal rights activists and the
yes.
media
yes.
and their irresponsible actions. It's a shame that we have to keep doing this, and it doesn't matter whether it's bow fishing, bow hunting, or anything. It's always... people with misinformation and emotions just trying to take away our chosen way of recreation and our right to hunt. And it's very unwarranted. It fills the general public with misinformation. But unfortunately, a lot of times when we're out there, if we have any bad apples, they give us a black eye. So it's the kind of thing we all need to self-police. And Kirk and I, we've talked on the phone over the last few days, and Kirk's come up with some really innovative ways of approaching his tournament here tomorrow and making sure that his folks are doing what they should be doing as far as making good use of the rays to make sure that nothing's going to waste.
Right.
Kirk's going to be handing out some recipes and things like that, but it's, you know, it's just a shame that we have to do this because you've got a couple fanatical people, and really the animal rights activists, they're a very small percentage of the population, but unfortunately, they seem to get a lot of attention, and they know how to, you know, pluck at the heartstrings of folks through the news media.
Exactly. Now, Kurt and John, listen, you guys are probably going to have some pushback tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to have protesters or whatever, but I know that if I went on one of these websites from these two organizations that are making all the news media stand up and pay attention this past week, and they're going after your sponsors. They're going after Costa. They're going after Bass Pro Shop, which are two of the sponsors for the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
And that's something that we know about. And, you know, we're not – I've already spoke to a bunch of our sponsors to let them know.
Yeah.
Out of respect for them, we are not putting up banners. We're not advertising for them. They all agree. We will be giving away a raffle, prizes and whatnot.
Sure.
But just to go back to what you guys are saying, you know, fishing licenses, hunting licenses, you know, this is a $1 billion business. You know, and our money that we all pay for licenses, it all goes back to the conservation and to taking care of parks. You know, it's like they think that we're these horrible people. But we're doing something with our money. We're giving back to the land.
Let me expand on that just a little bit, if you don't mind. What you're talking about is the federal excise tax that's applied to bows and arrows and some archery tackle. You're talking about the excise tax that's applied to firearms and ammunition. It's an 11% tax, and on those three pieces of the puzzle, it's 11%. Excise tax that goes to fund the Wildlife Restoration Act. When it comes to fishing, fishing tackle and certain boat motor fuels also have a tax, an excise tax that is we pay for. It's assessed on the tax is assessed on the manufacturer. The manufacturer pays that tax to the Internal Revenue Service with their quarterly taxes, and the Internal Revenue Service then turns that over to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which distributes it back to the states on a formula that is based on, among other things, the number of fishing licenses and hunting licenses sold in each state. So the money that we pay, we overpay and willingly and voluntarily and gladly overpay for firearms, ammunition, archery tackle, some boat motor fuels and things like that, does go back and help fund Hunter Safety Education Program, for one thing. Wildlife Restoration Fund funds that. It also funds the purchase of public lands for hunting. As far as the sport fish restoration, that money is used judiciously by the states to do fishing research and things like that. So it, as you guys said, it all goes back, and these anti-everything people give nothing back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we've noticed. I've been looking at
and
their
websites. And they get donations. People donate money. What do they do with it?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
They spend it on these high-tech cameras and drones that they're flying around. And, you know, I haven't noticed a single thing that they have given back on their website where they say, oh, you know, we've helped the animal shelters by donating them, you know, thousands of dollars. I mean, I own my own crab company, and I donate every chance I get.
Sure.
And
John. John, let me ask you this question. Have you ever had a vegan crab cake?
I can't say I have.
Ah, well, they're made out of soy.
Okay, well, that's not crab. Why do I call that a crab cake?
That is a very good question. That is a very good question. But if you go on their website, they've got all the vegan recipes as substitute for seafood. I can't imagine eating a ball of soy that's seasoned with seafood seasoning and calling it a crab cake.
Right.
That's what they're promoting. That's their lifestyle.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, I own my own crab company. It's the Tuckson Crab Company, if anyone's interested.
What's it called?
The Tuckson Crab Company.
I'm going to hit you up for an ad in the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine. So you better not leave your number. I'm going to call you.
Oh, no, not a problem at all. I mean, you know, every year I donate to Relay for Life. I donate to, you know, a couple of the animal shelters. And what I do is I give them, you know, bushels of crabs to do auctions. And, you know, I mean, I put back because...
We all have, hey, John, we all do. Yeah, we all exactly. do. But let's not wander too far afield here. Let's talk about Lou's idea, and that's what part of this program is here today, is a public awareness program. Let's talk specifically about the cow nose ray.
Right.
Okay. This species, as everybody here has agreed, and I think fisheries agencies have agreed that when these rays invade the Chesapeake Bay, the population over the last two decades has increased incrementally to the point where it is way, 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 way out of control.
Yeah.
And the people have to understand what these rays do. This is a 30 to 100 pound animal that travels in packs of up to, what would you say, Tony? 30 to 100 maybe?
No, easily. Even more.
Okay. So we have a commercial crab business here in Maryland. We have a soft crab industry here in Maryland. We have a razor clam industry here in Maryland. We have a soft clam industry here in Maryland. And that is everything that these animals eat. We talk about submerged aquatic vegetation, the bay grasses. These rays in those numbers will destroy the SAVs in the Chesapeake Bay because they get in there and they suck up the soft crab, they suck up the juvenile crabs, and when they get in there, they don't discriminate. They don't go, oh well, let me move this blade of grass aside because I see a little crab over there. They go in there and crush those things.
Right, and those grasses are the filters for the water to keep our waters clean.
Exactly.
And that's huge stuff, and they don't see. Like, I think it was Lou said earlier. And I don't want to say that they're ignorant towards what we're talking about, but they don't know everything.
Who? The Department of Natural Resources and the agencies that handle that? Well, they have had no motivation to study this species.
No. Right.
You know, and I mean, some of the studies that were done are very inconclusive, and there's generalities, and I mean, there's been some research done. There's no question VMI, Virginia Marine Institute, has a number of these rays in captivity, and I urge anybody to go on their website and take a look at these giant creatures sucking up oysters and seeing how powerful their jaws are. They may not be able to crush a fully mature oyster, but I'll tell you what, they just... The spat and everything else is just gone.
Yes.
Yep. So.
And the one thing, Alan, if you don't mind, is...
No, go ahead, Tim.
Once these things get into the bay, they have no predators whatsoever.
Right.
Out in the ocean, obviously, there's sharks and whatnot, but once they hit the bay, there's nothing up here that is going to, balance...
Right.
Balance everything out. So, I mean, that's where...
Right, and basically, what we're doing is, helping keep them in check.
Exactly.
We're not, there's a lot of other tournaments that are out there that are, big 30 tournaments. We're a big 3 tournament. We're not trying to devastate these animals. We're not.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
A big 3 tournament. Tell me what that means.
A big 3 tournament is that when you go out, it's the largest 3 tournaments that, the largest 3 rays that come in, that get weighed, and that's who... That's how you get first, second, and third place for our tournament.
Okay, so but how many rays does each bow hunter take? Does he only take 3? Are you limited to 3?
You're not limited to 3. I mean, we try to explain to everybody when we do these to try, just like anything else,
pass up the little ones.
Spot check the fish and try to shoot the bigger ones and bring them in.
Okay, sure.
When you're out deer hunting, you don't go out there and shoot everything that walks in front of you. You try to be a responsible conservationist and, select harvest.
Okay, that makes sense. I got it. Okay, guys, everybody hang on. Tony, can you stay with us? Do you have to go?
No, I'm actually good this morning.
Okay. Lou, you good to go? You good to stay?
I'm good till the end, brother.
All right. Kurt and John, I don't know how much time you have. If you have to go, you have to go. But this is commercial radio, and Alan has to take care of his sponsor. So give me a second to do that, and we'll be right back here in a few minutes with you. Let me tell you about a couple of our sponsors. Since we're talking about seafood, let's talk about NBS Seafood. 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donnie RV. They've got the crawfish season is coming to a quick end, but if you still want some Cajun stuff, you can get andouille sausage and gator tail, and you can mix all that in with your crabs, and they have the crabs now. They man, they shed their own soft crabs in their own tanks. They filled with their own water, and they are the most delicious butter soft crabs you will ever eat anywhere. You need to check out NBS Seafood, that's for sure. And they have all the spice to make your seafood taste great as well. Live crabs, you steam yourself, and all the spice. They also have Black Angus New York strip steaks for your grill. Why not stop by and see them? NBS Seafood, or call 410-271-3202. That's right. The new hours of operation are Thursday, Friday, and Mondays, 2 to 7, Saturday, today from 10 to 7, and Sunday from noon to 5. NBS will accept Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. If you have any questions, give that number a call, and that would be 410-271-3202 for NBS, No Bull Stuff Seafood. And right up the street, also right off I-97, is Papa John's Farm. Here's the commercial. Get your corn, your tomatoes, and your watermelons for the 4th at Papa John's Farm. That's it. No, seriously, summer is the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy watermelons. Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to steam their crabs with corn on the cob for a great family dinner. So there you go. NBS, get your live crabs. Go to Papa John's, get your corn on the cob. Throw it all in a steam pot. Put some crab seasoning on there, a little butter. Oh, what a treat. Hot corn with crab spice. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, head to Schillinger, Papa John's Farm from Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super-sweet corn that they grow, their homegrown tomatoes are ready to go. Their squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, green beans, cucumbers, mouth-watering cantaloupes, and sweet melons, too. Papa John's Farm, I-97, Exit 12. 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That's 410-969-8810. They're open every day. Phone number again, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Oh, you want me to do something? What do you want me to do? Do a commercial? Oh, did I say that? Oh, okay. Folks, do you like to fish in Maryland? Who doesn't? Do you like winning prizes like cash, a boat, fishing trip, fishing equipment? Who doesn't? No strings attached. Fish to win. It's the Maryland Fishing Challenge. 67 species across Maryland. Win cash and prizes for fishing in your favorite Maryland fishing spot. $25,000 in guaranteed cash prizes. $6,000 in each of the three regions, non-title Chesapeake Bay and Atlantic. A master angler. All you do is catch an award-sized fish in each region. You're automatically entered to win $2,000 in cash. And there will be $5,000 in random cash drawings at the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale event. You catch and keep invasive species of any size, and you qualify for a special prize drawing. All this is in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Very simple. Go to www.dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries or check your rule book or your local tackle shop. You'll be glad you did to get into the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Ahoy, Captain Seaweed here. Just a reminder, when you have a Captain Seaweed soft crab, you're having a Republican soft crab. You'll find Captain Seaweed soft crabs at Jilly's of Pikesville and King Liquor of Rosedale.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
A damn good dinner, crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his focus, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man. Talking about the water man. I'm talking about.
All right, here's a good song, Bird Dog Wheeler and the Road Kings, about the water man. That should make John Peek happy. How about that, John?
Oh, I love it.
All right. Who wants to comment first? Well, door's wide open, guys.
Hey, Alan.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what I've got for you is, I just wanted to bring this up. When I was doing the initial investigation, I contacted a gentleman, a 71-year-old man, who used to run this ray fishing tournament down at the Tucson area for the 17 years that Kirk referred to, and I forget the gentleman's name. But keep in mind, he's 71 years old. The gentleman, he had to give up the tournament because his wife is afflicted with dementia.
Right.
And he's taking care of her now. But the first thing he told me when I called him was I would not believe the number of calls he had got from animal rights activists calling him a murderer, a cold-blooded killer, and all manner of things, and up to and including death threats that he's got.
Yep.
These animal rights activists over this stuff.
Are you kidding me, guys?
No, absolutely. If you look on their pages on Facebook, it's all over it.
Really?
Yeah, on the dark Facebook page.
What they're calling us, killers, murderers, and how we shouldn't be alive. How you know? I mean,
gentlemen,
what kind of humans talk like that?
Gentlemen, I want you to pay very close attention to what I'm going to say right now to shark and to fish feel.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yeah, it is.
This goes to shark. And it goes to fish feel. Bring it on and kiss my ass.
Amen.
That wasn't a prayer, but it's okay. You know, it's time. We cannot be intimidated by these people. We cannot.
Stand up for what we feel is right.
The problem, here is the problem, and Lou, you can speak to this better than anybody. When you have a just and a noble cause, and you are a hunter, or you are a fisherman, the last person that you can get to support you are other hunters and other fishermen.
Oh, yes.
Lou? Yes?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Indeed, indeed. Now, Kurt and John, you don't know this, but what Ellis Outdoors does is a lot of things. I mean, we're in hunting. We talk about the fishing here on the show. We are in the crab business with our publications. And Tony, you're part of our advertiser base in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. And you're in the hunting business to make a living. John, you're a waterman. Kurt, you're a promoter. Lou, you're the president of the Maryland Bow Hunters. You're the coordinator for the National Archery and Schools Program. You're the chairman of the Wildlife Advisory Committee here in Maryland. I suspect that all of us are in their sights after today. What do you think, guys?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Absolutely.
How many of you are afraid of them?
I'm not.
Nope. Not at all.
I'm not afraid to stand for what I feel is, right in my, belief.
Exactly.
I mean, these rays come in here, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, when I go out there and lay my lines, if I'm running clam bags, they're gone within an hour because that's, hundreds of dollars that it's costing me.
Okay.
And, there you go.
Yeah, the rays take it right off the line. I mean, it's like these guys trying to make a living.
Yeah, We're talking about the bags of razor clams on the trot lines. These rays will follow the trot line and crush every bag of razor clams. And the guys won't be able to catch the crabs. One of you guys, we have four lines that we can lock together. We're going to have to put somebody on hold because we have a caller that wants to make a comment.
Okay.
Okay, so hang on there. Somebody's going to be put on hold.
Got it.
And it looks like it was Lou Compton. Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good. You want to introduce yourself?
My name is Dale Weinrich. I'm a retired fisheries biologist. I was with Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for almost 40 years. So the comment I wanted to make is that you all had alluded to a little bit, but probably the key factor in this whole thing is habitat. What these cow-nose rays can do to the grass beds, and the waterman gentleman can certainly attest to this, and all of your guests can, too. They can completely destroy the integrity of these grass beds with their feeding activities. Any good fisheries biologist or wildlife biologist, for that matter, can tell you that the key to any healthy population is habitat. If you do not have the habitat, your populations are going to suffer. So what these rays do, and I would hope that a lot of these other non-consumptive users, people who do not hunt and fish, would realize that the detriment to the habitat that these organisms cause is tremendous. And I know the department has spent years and thousands of dollars trying to restore the grass beds, and they've done a pretty good job in spots. One of the things you could look at is the Potomac. The introduction of hydrella into that system did wonders for the Potomac in terms of water quality, water clarity. So I would just hope that everybody would understand it isn't just these gentlemen trying to make a living, and I'm not disparaging them at all.
No, I know you're a pro waterman, absolutely.
If you don't have that water quality, everybody will suffer.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Good point, Dale. Excellent point.
All right, Alan, thank you.
Are we done?
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
All right, there goes Dale. We'll take Dale down and put Lou back up. Comments, gentlemen, on what Dale said?
You're exactly right.
Absolutely.
Right on ahead.
Good.
Yeah, Alan, when it comes down to it, too, I mean, not only are we a guide service, it you know, as hunters and fishermen, it comes down to full ecology. That, you know, in the off seasons we're out there, you know, making sure the environment around us is all settled and, you know, in equal balance too.
Well, Tony, part of your business is not just hunting and fishing. You do of course Silver Dogs. You raise the labs, but the Silver Labs. But your part of your business is wildlife habitat restoration and food plot installation and management, and you know the quality deer management is part of your effort as well. So, you know, why would we want to go out there and affect the resource that we depend on in a negative fashion? I think we've learned our lesson on sustainability in this day and age, that, you know, we have to protect what is there so that it is there for not only for our living for as long as we want to do that, but also for future generations. Yes?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it comes down to, you know, elementary basics. I mean, we're in first grade, we learn life cycles. And you pull one thing out of balance, obviously, then, you know, it affects everything in the whole entire circle.
Yeah. I'll put it to you this way. I'm a duck hunter also, and one of the reasons that we don't have the ducks like we used to is because of the habitat. And, you know, I'm not blaming it all on the rays, but that's a big part of it. When they come in here in the summertime and they deplete that habitat, when the ducks come, you know.
Let's talk about sea ducks and what they eat.
Exactly.
And let's talk about what the devastation the ray has on the mussel population in the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, right. There you go. I mean, the mussel is it's got a hard shell, but
it's easily broken, you know, and that's one of the things that the rays feed on when they come in here.
And these sea ducks will come in here in the winter. They're looking for places to go. We have, at Patuxent Wildlife Research Center, we have every species of sea duck that's indigenous to the bay or that migrates into the bay, the long-tailed duck, all the scoters. They have tanks that they put food grids on, and these ducks will dive 13 feet down to the bottom, and they use these food grids that have varieties of different mussels growing on them, and they monitor once the duck dives and they come up and they recapture the ducks and put them back in the pen, they'll pull these food grids up, and they'll determine which foods these ducks prefer. And there's a variety of mussels out there in the bay that people don't know anything about. We don't have a commercial mussel industry here, but these ducks will dive down, and there's like five or six different kinds of mussels that they eat, and more so some that they prefer. And I can't quote them right now. But that's the same type of thin-shelled bivalve that these rays will eat. So they affect everything year-round. They affect the sea duck food base. They affect the crabbers. They affect the razor clams, the soft-shelled clams, and everything else out there. So, you know, and look, a lot of people that, you know, see these rays and they go, oh, look, aren't they cool? Yeah, they're cool, and until you catch one.
Right.
And then what do you do?
Exactly.
You know,
that's a tournament tomorrow. I'm going to do a little demonstration on, you know, preparing them.
Good.
So that way, you know, we kind of open the public eyes. You know, I'm going to take and I'm going to, you know, fillet one right in front of everybody.
Right.
And then, you know, we're going to show you how to prepare it. I got recipes prepared.
Yep.
And also, you know, if you want to use them for crab bait on your trout line, I'm even going to go into that and show people how to do that.
We just got an email from a listener.
Okay.
The Rappahannock River Oysters Restaurant prepares ray. Chris is the chef at that restaurant, Christopher McBurney.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher McBurney makes a ray dish that former fisheries, I don't know what Marty Gary's position was, but Marty's been on this show a number of times. Promoter, I guess, marketing guy, he's with the Potomac River Marine Fisheries Service director, had some of this, I believe, last night. And he said when he hasn't necessarily eaten cow nose ray that was truly tasted exemplary, but he said this wasn't good. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
Right.
Spectacular.
You know, Alan, you know, the thing is that these rays are edible fish, and, you know, we do eat them, and we, you know, a bunch of us, you know, bow fishermen do bring these home.
Sure.
You know, that we call them the poor man's scallops.
Now, yes, exactly.
I have to say, I'd rather have scallops.
Right.
But we do bring these home, and we do have some recipes, and we do eat these.
Sure.
So we don't just throw them back into the water.
Well, of course not.
There.
Of course
but Alan,
not.
But even if we do put some of these ray back in the water, it's a circle of life. It goes down to the bottom, and now the crabs have something to eat.
ultimate revenge type of thing. Well, I don't know if you were listening before, but Tony basically says he gives some of his to the watermen, and they prefer them. They freeze them, they salt them, and they, I don't know if they trot line, use them on their trot line or use them in their crab traps, but I think they use them as a substitute for eel, right, Tony?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's correct. Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. So they can be recycled, no question.
Yeah, and then also, you know, for the tournament tomorrow, I have a local farmer lined up that he's going to use them for fertilizer for his fields.
Well, see, I don't know that I like that, but, you know, if that's what he wants to do, if there are some surplus animals there,
to the Indian days, you know, where you plant, you bury a hole.
Yeah, I understand.
Hole, you plant a fish.
And yeah, I know that the rough fish can serve for that. I know that these guys that bow fish for carp, I think they probably have that same deal that they believe in that they can use them for fertilizer, and they make a very good fertilizer, no question. But
I'm a big carp bow fisherman, and yes, we have them out, but we've also donated them to bird sanctuaries, turtle farms. So we always are looking for a place to put these animals.
Bird sanctuaries. That's great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bird sanctuaries is good. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there are any fur farms around anywhere, but that would drive the animal activists nuts too. That if you would donate them to the to mink farms to have them ground into mink food, that would probably. I'm just thinking. Ultimately, you know, what do you think, Lou?
We're always not chuckling with you, Alan.
You know, make sure that what we, you know, harvest goes to good use.
Let's really tick them off.
Yeah.
Let's turn them into mink food. So, all right, guys, we got to take another break. If you hang with me, we'll be back here shortly, okay?
Sounds good.
Hang on. All right, Clyde Sports Shop. Let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop a little bit. You know, we've talked about them for fishing, and now we want to talk about them for firearms, that's for sure. Clyde's is not only your Browning hunting headquarters, but your shooting sports headquarters as well. You want to take a look at a couple nice Browning guns for shooting sports? Try the Satori 725 over and under. The perfect blend of beauty and performance, and this gun is spectacular. 5 Invector DS choke tubes, ported barrel, triple trigger system, Vector Pro length and forcing cones, and there's a field model also available if you like over and under for hunting as well. The BT99 trap gun, single shot, beautiful gun. If you're a trap shooter, this one will fit you, and it's adjustable, and you can custom tune it to your needs. But let's talk hunting. Let's talk the basic BPS pump gun, available in several different models, including Mossy Oak camo and Breakup Infinity camo, with the DuraTouch armor coating that prevents rust and makes it look good. It's a bottom ejection gun. It's available in 12 and 10 gauge models too, and the A5. That's my dream gun. That's right. The Hump is back. The most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers available, 12-gauge, 100,000 rounds, or 5-year guarantee, and 20-gauge is now available. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. And by the way, you shooters, they just got a load of shot in for reloading this week. They just got it this week. So make sure you check it out. 7.5, 8, and 9 shot for reloading your own shotgun shells. Hearing, eye protection, ear protection, shooting vest. If you're a sporting clays guy, if you like shooting sports, stop by Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Been around since 1957. The phone number, 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. ClydeSports.com.
The National Weather Service has a flash flood watch in effect through late tonight. An approaching low pressure system may dump 1 to 3 inches of rain across the area by late tonight. Showers and storms will move through from this morning into the afternoon. Some of the thunderstorms may produce some damaging winds. Expect a high near 73 and showers and some more strong storms tonight with a low of 63. As low pressure exits tomorrow, we'll start to dry out. There will be breaks in the clouds with a high near 76. Monday, some sunshine with a high in the low 80s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge, a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for every recreational fisherman and woman in Maryland. Don't forget, by the way, July 4th, next Saturday, free fishing day. That's right. You can grab the rod and reel, grab the kids, grab the wife, grab the dog. Everybody can go fishing for free, even the dog. That's right. You don't need a license. Absolutely. For any type of fishing in Maryland, no license. One day only, one day left on the calendar, July 4th. Now, in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, there's 67 species of fish, all the way from the Atlantic to the freshwater to the Chesapeake Bay, you name it. 67 species, freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, invasive species, all that. There's a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, you receive your official angler award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win a Tracker Marine Boat Package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center, collectible Under Armour Heat Gear t-shirts, and even your share of $25,000 in cash prizes. The fish are biting right now all over Maryland in your favorite fishing hole. Now is not the time to stay indoors. Go fish. The official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena.
Ahoy, Captain Seaweed here. Just a reminder, when you have a Captain Seaweed soft crab, you're having a Republican soft crab. You'll find Captain Seaweed soft crabs at Jilly's of Pikesville and King Liquor of Roseville.
This week on Fox News Sunday, you'll hear interviews with the top newsmakers of the week and analysis of the top news stories by our distinguished panel of political experts. This is Chris Wallace. Join me this Sunday at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade.
All right, we're back with Tony Lahotsky from Silver Dog Outdoors, who is a outfitter and takes commercial parties for bow fishing for cow-nose rays. We have Lou Compton, president of the Maryland Bowhunter Society, national coordinator for several states for the National Archery in the Schools program, and the chairman of the Wildlife Advisory Committee here in Maryland. We have Kurt Wall and John Peek, who are involved in the guys, what's the name of your tournament, by the way?
It's the American Bowhunters Extreme Bowfishing Big Three Stingray Tournament.
Okay, and that takes place tomorrow on the Patuxent River
down in Benedict Bridge.
Benedict Bridge, right, exactly. Yes, indeed.
Public boat ramp right there where the DNR is.
Gotcha. Okay, guys, we've got about 10 minutes left in the about 5 or 6 minutes left in the program. We have to take another short break at the end. But Bethany has been fielding questions from our listeners. Since I got all you four guys locked in, we can't add a line. That's why we had to put Lou on hold earlier and blah, blah, blah. Let's talk to Bethany real quick.
Hello.
Hey, Bethany.
Hi. So one of the questions that one caller had was, why can't we use nets to catch rays?
Oh, well, we do use nets, and they mess them up. I mean, nets are very expensive, and the rays actually are, it's a big fish. And what I've noticed, when I get them in my nets, they tear them up.
Now, your pound nets, your fike nets, and when a ray gets in a pound net, it follows. People understand how a pound net works. A pound net has a leading edge that's usually on the shoreline. It leads the fish into the corral, basically, the pound net. When the waterman goes in to collect the fish, they close off the entrance and go in with dip nets to get whatever fish are in the pound net. And then if a ray gets in there, it can not only eat your catch, but it can also destroy your nets as it frantically races about trying to get out of that thing. Right,
right.
John?
Yep.
Is that how it works?
Exactly.
Next question. Go ahead. Sorry, John.
Oh, no, I was just saying, those nets are thousands and thousands of dollars.
Sure they are. Absolutely. Go ahead, Ben.
I might be messing this next question up, but they said menhaden and how the rays like to feed on them. Is there a way that you can deter that from happening?
Deter rays from eating menhaden?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Short answer, yeah. No. There's no way you can keep a fish from eating another fish. I mean, right. Wait, there is a way. You guys will enjoy this. Bow and arrow to shoot the rock.
Exactly. I mean, that's the only way I found out.
Exactly. So, okay, go ahead, Ben.
Okay, one caller said that there was rays breaking on the water near the Key Bridge on the Patapsco River.
Yeah.
South of, and why would they be doing that right now?
Why are they on the surface?
Why are they on the surface, and why are they, there was a bunch of them apparently,
okay,
right in that location.
All right.
So.
What I have noticed in the past, and I could be wrong, I'm not a biologist by no means, but as soon as they drop their babies when they come into the rivers and the bays, they're breeding again. And when they're up on top of the water, you usually have the female in front and the male's in the back trying to breed her.
Okay. So she's getting chased by a lot of males, right?
Yes, yep. In a nutshell.
Yep, okay. So, some of these rays are pregnant when they come into the bay.
Correct.
And they drop their babies here.
Yep, right in the rivers.
And guess what? When next year shows up and these the babies have grown big enough to migrate with the adults, they show up. Where are they coming back to? Just like a rockfish, right?
Yep, the same place.
Same place. So not only is Chesapeake Bay an estuary for striped bass and a lot of other species, it's an estuary for the cow-nose rays.
Correct.
Yep. Let me ask you guys, in your experience, do other areas of, you know, the East Coast, and I know there's probably some areas in the West Coast, experience the amount of rays and the abundance of rays that we have here?
Oh, absolutely. Virginia has them. I mean, Ocean City, Maryland, I know people out there that are currently out there fishing.
Right.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
And by the way, folks, this is not necessarily for somebody who's inexperienced to just go out there in your own skiff, your own little Carolina skiff and go out there and shoot these rays. You
right,
must
definitely.
Be cautious because these rays have a very, very deadly, well, not deadly, but a very, very dangerous stinger on their tails. That's why they're called sting rays. I was in Hooper's Island Thursday, and one of the watermen got struck by a ray, I believe Wednesday. One of the Ruark fellows down there got struck by a ray. We know the gunsmith at Clyde Sports Shop was struck by a ray and spent a lot of time in the hospital. They're very infectious. They're a barbed ray. They're dangerous, and it can result in a very serious infection that takes a long, long time to recover from and could lead actually to even more serious surgery. If you're struck in the lower leg through the calf or something like that, you could lose a leg to a ray, no question.
Alan, also, just to add to that just a little bit is, you know, I've also had some people swimming down here that have actually stepped on them and got barbed. So the more and more rays that come in here, you know, there's a possibility of seeing a lot more just local swimmers and people like that.
Well, look, you're going to have to go online to one of these animal rights activist organizations because people swim with the rays, and they're so beautiful, and
right.
You can feed them and pet them, and, you know, they're like a little puppy.
Right.
Ask Steve Irwin.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Guys, we're winding it up here. We're going to have to take a short break. We're going to have to let everybody go and get out of here, but I want to ask Tony Lahotsky if you have any closing comments.
I think I'm good today, Alan.
Very good. Thanks for joining us today, man. SilverDogOutdoors.com. And anybody wants your phone number, they can email me, Ellis@EllisOutdoors.com, or hit your website. Lou Compton, any closing remarks?
Yes. I'm particularly concerned about one of the statements here in the DNR talking points that they sent me, and I shared this with you last night.
Yes, you did. And I said I wasn't complimentary, but go ahead.
Right. One thing that's concerning, this is coming from DNR officials and the folks at this Sustainable Goal Implementation Committee.
Right.
The harvest of cow-nose rays remains limited in scale, but the methods used, filling schools with bows and arrows and disposing of the carcasses, are highly controversial.
Right.
Okay. For them to have that mindset already without getting any input from the bow hunting and the bow fishing community really says a flag up for me.
The reason they say that is because they're not hearing from the bow fishing and bow hunting community. They're only hearing from the animal rights activists, and they're only hearing one side of the story. So, Lou, your efforts to mount a public education campaign may have to extend to mounting a campaign to the Department of Natural Resources officials about how this all works.
And I've already mentioned to them that they go into any further talks and they develop stakeholder groups, the Maryland Bowhunter Society, would love to be involved as one of the stakeholders in their groups.
And I think they would probably more than welcome that. And I'll add this. The Maryland Hunting Coalition will join with you in that effort.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Before I close out, I have to. I have to do this in memory of a fellow here who's really started this bow fishing many, many years ago, back in the 50s down here on the Eastern Shore. He's no longer with us, but he's the first man taking me out bow fishing for rays, and I shot a 115-pound southern ray over in Assateague Bay. Mr. Rob Davis. Rob has been instrumental in advocating for bow fishing here in the state of Maryland. And in his memory, I want to make sure that we go ahead and continue to keep it as a recreational activity.
Thank you, Lou. I appreciate that. All right. Kurt Wall, anything? What's your last words today?
I just really wish that these people would just look at it from our side and, you know, what we're doing and what we're trying to save, you know, the ecosystem and keeping our waters clean and just, you know.
Kurt, still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate that. John, any last words? John?
Sir, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we need to just stand up and fight for what we want. These animal rights activists are, so we need to, and stand together. And if you believe it's right, you want to keep on doing it, you need to stand up for yourself.
That's exactly right, and that's the whole purpose of doing this show today, guys. Good luck with your tournament tomorrow.
Thank you.
I hope every ray that you guys catch is utilized, and if there were some way that you could keep these rabid active animal activists away from your tournament. I realize it's a public waterway. I hope you have every means to do so. I don't know if this is considered hunting, but there is a law here in Maryland about hunter harassment. You might want to look that up.
Yes.
And apply that and make sure that the Natural Resources Police are on hand to enforce that law. At least get names and boat numbers and protect your endeavor down there.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Alan.
All right, Kurt. Thank you, John. We got to go. I got to take a last break and we'll get out of here for the day. You got it, buddy. Thank you very much. See you guys. And thanks to all those guys, Tony Lahotsky, Lou Compton, Kurt Wall, and John Peek for joining us on the Outdoors and Radio Show today. And it's time for me to tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9, your full-line hunting and fishing retailer. If you need anything for firearms as far as hunting, home protection, self-protection, or shooting sports, Clyde's has it. If you need anything for fishing, from saltwater to freshwater to crabbing, live bait, all the gear, all the accessories, all the lures, Clyde's has it. They've been around since 1957. They know their audience, they know their market, and they want to meet you as a new customer. They're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. 410-242-6108 is their number, 242-6108. Or call the fishing hotline 24 hours a day, 247-3474 for Clyde Sports Shop. We want to thank you for joining us today. We hope the discussion was interesting to you about bow fishing and the controversy that we've seen surrounding it in the news this week. We've had the top people that are in this tournament business. We've had the president of the Maryland Bowhunter Society, and we had Tony Lahotsky from Silver Outdoors, who takes commercial charters for bow fishing for rays. So